All right. Feel free to take a seat. Hey, it's great for us to be together as we celebrate the new year. We're just kind of walking into the new year. Actually, we kind of rush into the new year, and then hopefully we get to slow down just a little bit to think about, hey, how do we do a new year really, really well? And it's part of the reason why that every year around New Year's, people start setting resolutions. And so fitness equipment sales skyrocket. People are still trying to figure out, now people are saying, okay, so how do we get disciplined again? Is we spent too much at Christmas, and now we got to scale back, and we got to get tough. And then there's always the, hey, I need to lose that 10 pounds that I gained in the last 2 weeks. And then there's all of those other things that we do is hey, I want to pray more, or I want to be a better dad or a better mom or whatever it is, or I want to, you know, recover from last semester at school or those kinds of things. And so resolutions are a big part of a new year. As I've been thinking about it and thinking about what does it look like to go into a new year, it literally kind of changed the direction of the way that I wanted to send us out of here this morning. Because I had one message, and then I realized hey, that's not the message for this morning. Instead the message for this morning is it's good for us to think about, hey, what does it look like to do life well and to do a new year well? What does it look like to do life well and to do a new year well? And part of my concern is that life is so busy, and there's so many things that are on our plate these days. And I know that that's not true for everyone. Everyone is at different stages of life, and some people are at a stage of life where maybe there's not enough going on. But in general, most of us are at those busier stages of life where life is crazy. But how do we do a new year really well? And then because I'm asking that question in the context of also asking it prayerfully, I want to know how to do life well from a biblical point of view. And so what does Scripture tell us about how to live well and do well and to keep our mind focused on the right things? And so there's some Scripture verses that I've been thinking about this morning. And so Colossians chapter 3, I want to read this Scripture. Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first verse, and then on the second verse, we actually have it on the screen. It says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above." Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then it says, "Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." That's an interesting statement right now, because is it wrong for us to think about things that are in the here and now? And I would say absolutely not. But there's something important about is fixing our mind on the things that are above, on heavenly things, on the things that God would have us to think about. And so the Apostle Paul, in writing this, he says, "Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming." And so there's this call, and I like the way that this passage put it. There's this call to set our minds on things that really matter. When you think about that little challenge there, what I did this morning is I did a search for that phrase in Scripture, "set your minds." And I was surprised on how many times it's talked about in Scripture. Because the picture there is that we will have a specific focus, a mindful focus that will help us to stay on track. That word "to set," it means to hold in view, to hold in view, to keep thinking about, to have attitude. Now, as parents, as you're thinking, I don't want my kids to have attitude. That's usually a problem. Have attitude. No, it's have attitude. Attitude can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. And so set your attitude on what? on selfish things, on things that kind of feed the flesh? No. It's have attitude when it comes to really moving into life well and living life well. The other thing that it means is to set your mind, it means to have a posture of. Have a posture of. And so I was just thinking about is hey, what does it look like to actually do this? And one of my concerns is that for most of us, life rules us rather than us leading life. And part of the reason why is that it's just so hard to stay on track. And so I used to think that this was silly. Is I have a friend who a few years ago, we have a couple of groups of friends that we once a year spend time with. And they're friends that have been a part of our lives for some of them over 20 years. And so every year we spend time with the family, our friends, Joe and Tanya, and they stood up for us in our wedding, and we stood up with them in their wedding, and we have over 20 years of history together, and we speak into each other's lives, and we pray for each other, and we talk about what does it look like for us to follow Jesus, and we used to talk about that when we didn't have kids, and life was a little bit more simple, but we thought that we knew everything, and we didn't, and now we have kids, and we know nothing, and yet we can share life together, and we can still pray for each other, and we've been doing it for over 20 years. And then later today, we're going to spend some time with another group of friends. 2 years ago, we were spending time with that group of friends, and Mike told me, as he said, you know, I've got my word for the year. And I thought, word for the year? What's that? And he just said, hey, I just need a word that'll kind of help me to focus for the next year. And so I asked him, what's your word for the year? And he said, fun. And I said, but you're not fun. He said, that's why I need that word. but it was just interesting because I'd never heard that before, that someone would do that, that they would choose a word for the year that would help them to focus on something that they prayerfully, they've really, really thought about it. And they, as a family, they do this. And I chose not to do it because I thought that it was silly. But as I'm going into another year, I'm thinking about it is hey, there is something about that that can be really, really good. And I'm thinking about that particularly in the context of is that, hey, if you think about things that are unhealthy, if you think about things, if you fill your mind with things, if you set your mind on things that either don't matter or are unhealthy, then things that don't matter or things that are unhealthy are going to come out of your life. And I see so much of that, and I see it in my own life too, and so I'm not being critical of other people. But when you think about the wrong things come out of your life. And that little cliche that used to be said to us, usually by a parent, was, is garbage in, garbage out. And yet it's so true. And we know that it's true in the way that we eat, but it's also true in the way that we think. If we eat candy all of the time, and if we fill our lives with sugar, we're not only going to be overweight and out of shape, we're not going to feel very good most of the time. And you know, there's some sense of is that if you fill your thought life with sugary thoughts, then there's a point at which is that you're just kind of trying to seek one energy hit at a time, mentally speaking. And if you fill your thoughts with inappropriate things that one listens to, or inappropriate things that one watches through the media, or those kinds of things, then when you're not watching things, those things are still going to come to mind. And so what does it look like to choose something that will help you do what this scripture verse is talking about doing, to set your mind on things that are above rather than on things that are below? And when Mike told me that his word for the year was fun, he told me that because he knew the Lord was challenging him is that this year, seek to have fun with your family. Seek to just pursue me in the area of enjoying life. And you know, there's all kinds of scripture verses that can speak to that, because fun and joy, having joy in life, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so what does it look like to pursue that as a way of honoring the Lord. And so some of us might need that kind of a word that would lead us into a year. And some of us might need some other kind of a word that would lead us into a year. But it all has to be in the context of, it has to be in the context of, I believe that when this really is something that's just really, really healthy, that it's in the context of walking with God as he walks with us. And realizing is that when we think well, we live well, we do well, and we're actually healthier. And it's so interesting because secular sociologists and doctors, medical doctors, will tell you that if you think well, you will be a healthier person overall. There's been study after study that has found that this is true. In fact, they've been able to study people, and they've been able to study people, and they encourage them to spend 5 minutes thinking about things that discourage them about life. 5 minutes thinking about things that discourage them about life. And what they found was is that when they tested their antibody levels, their antibodies levels dropped by 55% just by thinking for five minutes about things that were discouraging. But when patients thought for 5 minutes about situations that made them happy, their antibody levels rose by 40%. Isn't that amazing? That the way that you think can literally affect the antibodies in your body. And so think about that on a spiritual level. Is on a spiritual level, if you're focused on things that are discouraging, if you're thinking about things, or if you're thinking about things that actually hinder God's work in your life, then it's almost like is your ability to function in as a spiritual person is significantly reduced. And so set your mind on things that are above, not things that are earth. And for the believer, this is so needful is because what we're told is that when we put our faith in Christ, that we become a new creation. For anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So why would we want to invite old ways of thinking and old ways of doing back into our life? Is set your mind on things above. Put to death those things that are earthly within you. And then it gives some examples of earthly things: immorality, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Is put those things to death. When we allow things to die, then we allow other things to live in life. But it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. In Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And so set your mind on the things of the Spirit. See, I think one of the things that we have to realize, and I've said this a few times in the last year, is that you're not a body that has a spirit. You're a spirit that has a body. Is a lot of times we think a lot more about our flesh because we need to give it food. We need to give it sleep. We need for it to have energy. And so we spend a lot of time taking care of the flesh. But when we talk about the flesh, scripturally speaking, we're not just talking about an organic fleshly body. We're also talking about is the sin that's just associated with living life, fleshly life. But we're more spirit than we are a body. Which is really, really important is because when this body dies, it doesn't mean the death of me. It doesn't mean the death of you. Because you're not just a body. You have a soul which has a body. And this body will one day pass away. The Bible calls this body a tent. What are the purposes of tents? They're temporary dwelling places. They're great for a camp out. But you don't want to live in one forever, do you? That'd be miserable, especially in big timber at this time of the year. Have you ever seen what the wind does to tents? As tents are not meant to be lived in forever. And when you start thinking about it, and you know, when you start thinking about the afflictions of the body, because there's going to be a time where our bodies are going to fall apart and they just do not function the way that they do. And you can say, thank you, Lord, that I don't have to spend eternity in this body. And for some of you, you can say, thank you, Lord, louder than some of the rest of us. Because it's no fun when the body starts to fall apart. It starts to feel like living in a tent in big timber in December and January. It's not fun. And so we look forward to having an eternal home. And the Bible says a couple of things about that eternal home. One is that on an individual level, we will be given new bodies. But on a corporate level, we will be a part of a new kingdom. And Scripture says that in that kingdom that there will be no more death, there will be no more sickness, there will be no more tears. And it is good for us to think about that day and those things. It's good for us to think about. It's good for us to set our mind on the things that are above. And so what does that look like in the here and now? Do you know that we can set our minds on things above and still live very securely in the here and now? And the reason why we know that is because God would want us to live here like we're living in his eternal kingdom in heaven. And the reason why we know that is because of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on where? On earth, as it is in heaven. And so we're supposed to live right now as though we are living in a heavenly kingdom, and we're supposed to pray for the will of God right now on earth here as it is in heaven. And so it's totally okay for us to pray that sickness would go away and that hurt and that pain and that sin would go away, because God's will, that's God's will. And we're to pray God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And so we should pray against sickness and against death and a lack of health, even though we know that one day we will be called home to go to be with God. But until that day happens, we're to pursue the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. And one of the ways that we can do that is by living really well and thinking really well. And one of the things that we can do, one of the tools that we can use in order to do that, is by really choosing is okay, I want to think well, and so I need to give myself some focus for the coming year. And maybe one of the ways that you can do that is to do something really, really silly and choose a word for the year that's going to help you keep focused. Now, your word for the year might be fun. I'm going to keep that word off for a long time because I still haven't figured out what that looks like. Kyle has that one really good. Someday I'll steal his word and he'll steal mine. But here's some example words for you to think about. You know, for some individuals, it might just be faithfulness. It might be faithfulness. As you might say, you know, just when it comes to life, I live a haphazard life. And so my word is going to be faithfulness. And that means is that, hey, you know, it might be things like faithfulness in the little things, like I'm going to get up at the same time in the morning, and I'm going to, here's what my schedule is going to look like, and I'm going to be faithful in the spiritual disciplines of life. And so I'm going to actually go to church. Some of us are really faithful at going to church. I'm faithful at going to church because I'm the pastor. And if I don't show up, I get fired. But I also go to church because I need it. But you know, it's easier for me to be disciplined in that way because I get a paycheck. But I never want to go to church just because I get a paycheck. But for some, it's, hey, what does it look like? I need faithfulness in my life. I need to be more faithful when it comes to spending time with my family. I need to be faithful when it comes to spending time with God, because it says set your mind on the things that are above. And a part of that is being a part of a group of people that, yes, they're a very flawed group of people, and they don't do things well a lot of the time, but they worship God together. And I need to worship with God's people. And so I'm going to faithfully be a part of the body of Christ, so that I can set my things that are up, my mind on things that are above. And it might be spending time in the Word, and it might be prayer, things like that. You know, a word that you might choose is if you're feeling called to prayer, prayer could be a word that you're called to in the coming year. Prayer. I want this year to be a year of prayer. And maybe it's because you have family members that you desperately want to see something happen in their lives. Maybe it's because you want to see some of the miraculous things of God. Maybe it's because you see a need in the community or a need in life. Or maybe it's just because you want to draw close to God, and that means having conversations with God on a daily basis. Maybe it's that you want to be more organized. And you want to do that actually as a setting my things that are on above is that because you live a disorganized life is that you can't, it's hard to be thinking about things that are above because everything down here is a mess. Is maybe it's your word is consistent. And maybe, you know, it starts with the daily time in the Word of God. Maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's something is that it actually helps you to spring free from some of those earthly things. So maybe the word for the year is sobriety. Is maybe there's just those addictive tendencies in your life and you're saying is you know what, that chain needs to be broken. I don't want it to be a part of my life, or I don't want it to be a part of my kid's life, and so I need to break that chain. And the truth is that it's very rare that people on their own can break the addictive chain. Almost every 12-step program out there, even the non-Christian ones, say is that you need a higher power, and I would say is that you actually need Jesus. Now, you can break those chains in other ways occasionally, but one of my concerns is that there's a huge amount of addiction, not just in the community, but in the body of Christ, in the body of Christ. And so maybe it's sobriety, and maybe it is you know what, I need to meet with someone to talk to them about what does it look like for me to break some of the chains of addictions by the grace of God and with the help of Jesus. And so maybe it's sobriety. Can you think of a word that will help you to be able to pursue God's best in this coming year? Can you think of a word? In Philippians, it says this. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. What the Apostle Paul is saying is that think about the things that really matter. Think about the things that really matter. Think about things that are lovely, commendable, honorable, pure, just. And that can be such a grid for our thought life. Right thinking. And the Apostle Paul earlier had said is you know, here's the problem with wrong thinking. Is wrong thinking is that when you're focuses, and this is the focus that happens so much, is when you're focused on fleshly things, and the Apostle Paul talks about people whose lives are focused on fleshly things, on earthly things, and it says is their destiny is destruction in chapter 3 of Philippians. It says their God is their stomach. Why? Because they can only focus on the flesh. Their glory is their shame, because their mind is on earthly things. But we're called to set our minds on things that really matter, on things that are above. And in that first section of Scripture, it gave us a little clue about what that looks like and about who that means thinking about. Because it says that when Christ, who is your glory, appears, when Christ, who is your glory, appears. And it says that he right now is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. There's another scripture verse that says, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. There's another verse that says, set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. There's so many verses that point us to Jesus. Here's the reason why. It's because there is no one who is more beautiful than Jesus. And there is no one who has gone through more or done more to point us towards the things that are above. And everything about his life that was lived, everything about his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection was all to help us to know is that this life is not all that there is. That there is more to life than this right here, and that we are called to a kingdom that is not just in the here and now. We are called to the kingdom of God, and so we are supposed to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else that we think about here, clothing and food and all of those things will fall into their right place, but we are to set our minds on those things. Romans chapter 12 says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Set your mind on things that are above. Kyle's going to come and we're going to close with a worship song. And as he does, here's what I want you to do is hey, would you stand with me? And we're just going to take just a couple of minutes before, or not a couple of minutes, we're going to take 30 seconds a minute just to think. How would God have you renew your mind this year? How would God have you set your mind on things that are above? Because it always starts with Jesus, is that we can't do life without Jesus. We can't do life without the gospel message, which means good news. We can't do life without knowing that there is a kingdom that is not the here and now kingdom, but there is a kingdom that is waiting for us in heaven. And the only reason that we can have any idea that that's true is because of the gospel message, because of the Christmas message. He came and he was born, and he was born for us because of the love of God, and he lived the life that we can't live, and he died a death so that we can live. And that life does not end in the grave. That for those that have put their faith in Christ, that there will be a day when Christ will come and we will rise with him, and that we will get to go to be with him in a heavenly kingdom. And it'll be more beautiful than we can possibly imagine and more precious than anything that we've ever experienced in all of life. And so how would God have you focus on things that really matter, on things that are above, and then also live life praying that his will would be done here as it is in heaven? Just take a moment and just answer this question between you and the Lord. Is Lord, where would you have my mind be in the coming year? Where would you have my mind be? What word would you give me, or what challenge would you give me for this year? Just take a moment to think about that. If a word comes to mind, claim it as a word from God. If a challenge comes to mind, claim it as a challenge for God. What would that be? Did you get a word? Did you get a challenge? And it may be something that the Lord may just say hey, come back to this later this afternoon. And you can say hey, I do want to come back to this. I want to think more about this. But then let's end with this. It all starts with Jesus. And if you've never put your faith in Jesus, you got to know that he died on the cross for you. And that he died to pay for sin. And that he lived a perfect life. The reason he was born in a manger is so that he could die on a cross for you. And if you've never put your faith in Jesus, then Scripture says that when you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are saved. You can say, forgive me for all of my sins. Lord, I want Jesus. Forgive me for those sins. May his precious, precious blood take away my sin. And I want him to be my leader in this new year, my Lord, not just in this year, but in this life. I put my faith in him. Or if you have been kind of stalling out in your walk with God, just to say, Jesus, I just want to recommit my life to you. I want to focus on things that really matter and let things that don't slip to the wayside. What's the word? Say, Jesus, this is my word. Help me to stay focused. Jesus, this is my challenge. Help me to do it. And if you need help with it, please come talk to me or talk to another person in the church and say, hey, I want someone to know about this so that they can pray about it with me. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for this time. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's close in worship.